lifted my burdens at Calvary. He carried them high upon an old rugged tree. There his blood broke through my chains of sin and washed me clean. In victory I'll praise him for the day he lifted my burdens away.
I once tried everything to find peace in my soul, climbing the wrong mountains and taking the wrong roads, surrounded by a wall so high it dimmed the light of day. Then I gave my heart to Jesus and he lifted my burdens away.
He lifted my burdens at Calvary. He carried them high upon an old rugged tree. There his blood broke through my chains of sin and washed me clean. In victory I'll praise him for the day he lifted my burdens away.
I now live free and peace abides within my soul. Grace and mercy stay beside me as I walk this road to home. A wall of shining light surrounds me when I kneel to pray. And I thank him for the moment he lifted my burdens away.
He lifted my burdens at Calvary. He carried them high upon an old rugged tree. There his blood broke through my chains of sin and washed me clean. In victory I'll praise him for the day he lifted my burdens away. Well, he lifted my burdens at Calvary. He carried them high upon an old rugged tree. There his blood broke through my chains of sin and washed me clean. In victory I'll praise him for the day he lifted my burdens. He took all my burdens. He lifted my burdens away.
All right, thank you guys. Enjoyed that very much. And thank God he has lifted our burdens far, far away. And what a great, exciting time it is to be alive. What a great time it is to be saved. Listen, we live in the greatest time in history. So, there's other greater times. No, you know why we're living in the greatest times in history? Because we're closer to the coming of Jesus Christ than ever before. And we live in a great day and a great time. We shouldn't be sulking about it. We should look at it as a challenge and as a desire to serve God even in this evil day. Take your Bible, if you would, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, if you would, please. We're going to read several passages of Scripture here. While you're turning to Luke 4, let me give you a quick synopsis of the topic at hand. You know, just about everywhere Jesus went and taught, somebody always jumped his case about something. Always. And so, in most of the time, he just went and taught the truth and just spoke the truth, and always somebody in opposition to him. And in this situation here, and just prior to the verses that we're going to read, they were so angry and so mad at what he said, they were going to take him out of town to the side of the hill and throw him off and kill him. And then we're going to pick up in verse number 30 and show you exactly what happened. Stand with me, if you would, please, this morning, Luke 4 and verse number 30. But he, speaking of Jesus, passing through the midst of them, that's the people that wanted to throw him off the ledge, went his way and came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine. Here's what I want you to underline: for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, that thou art the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." When the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed. Remember, they were astonished a while ago. Now they're all amazed. And spake among themselves, saying, and here is the topic of the message this morning, what a word is this? What a word. By the way, they didn't say, what a word is this? They said, what a word is this? This is amazing. This is incredible. For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Now, Matthew chapter 4, don't turn there. Remember, the devil in his tempting of Jesus tried to get him to turn stones into bread. And Jesus says, as it is written, as it is written in the Word of God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And here it was acknowledged by these people. Not only was his word with power, but they said, what a word is this? You ever been that place in your life where God does something and you said, man, what a God we serve. This is amazing what God can do. Now, Father, bless our time together this morning. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. And Lord, we don't want to take this precious time for granted today. We know, Lord, this is committed time. This is holy time. This is a time that we're here, Lord. We want to hear something from God and from the Bible today. And we pray that you do something wonderful in hearts. Save souls, we pray. Encourage the saints in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. There are a lot of people in the world today with great power whose word carries a lot of weight when they speak. For instance, the position of the President of the United States. When the President of the United States speaks, it carries a lot of weight. The most powerful individual in the world is the President of the United States. When the Pope speaks, the Catholic world listens. By the way, when Osama bin Laden speaks, the terrorist world listens. You see, there are very powerful people today, and when they speak, the tendency is not only to listen, but to accept their word as truth because of the power behind their word. When I was a kid, maybe I shouldn't say when I was a kid, when I was a young adult, in the late 70s and 80s, E.F. Hutton used to have a commercial. And they would be in a restaurant, and there'd be two men in a restaurant, or maybe there would be two ladies shopping. And they're just kind of, you know, just talking back and forth. And about that time, one of them would say, "But who is your broker?" "Well, my broker's E.F. Hutton." And E.F. Hutton says, and everybody stopped and gathered around to listen, because when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. And you know what? That commercial still rings in my ear today, and many of you recognize it today. Somebody came up, that was an ingenious idea. And what I'm saying to you today is the reason that they were trying to use this commercial to get the ear of the people is because E.F. Hutton was the authority on the subject. They said, listen, you want the authority on stock brokerage and the stock market? Listen to E.F. Hutton, because when he speaks, you better listen. He's got the inside goods. He knows. And may I say to you today that there have been some great men that have lived and to say some great things that's been chronicled in our history, but none have ever or ever will say or do anything greater than our loving, long-suffering, and living Savior. You see, when Jesus spoke, people listened, both believers and unbelievers. Matter of fact, whenever the first time the Lord spoke in Scripture, did you know there was no one there to hear His words? You see, because when we go back into the book of Genesis, we find in Genesis 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, God said, "Let there be light." And guess what happened? there was light. Why? Because light could not resist His Word. Because His Word is with power. What a word is this from someone who can speak light into existence. But wait a minute, He didn't stop there. We go on to verse number 6, and God said, let there be a firmament. And guess what took place? The firmament appeared. Verse 9, let there be dry land appear. And guess what happened? At the word of God, dry land appeared. He moves on and tells us in verse 11 that God said, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Guess what it brought forth? Grass. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament. Guess what happened? There were lights in the firmament. God said, and let us make man in our image after our likeness. And guess what happened? We appeared. It all came by the Word of God. I'm here to tell you today, dear friend, that there's no greater word than the words of Almighty God. God spake His Word, and everything was created that was created. You say, who created everything? The Lord did. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Nothing was made that wasn't made by Him. You know how it was made? By the Word of His mouth. By His Word He spoke it all into existence. Shortly thereafter, someone else spoke up. Wasn't God. Someone else spoke up and said, yea, hath God said? Oh, can you actually believe God's Word? And He said, yea, hath God said? Oh, surely He didn't mean that you can't eat of any tree. Oh, come on, He just knows that the day that you eat thereof, you shall become like Him. That's the only reason He doesn't want you to eat of this tree. Listen, there's always people questioning the Word of God and the authority of the Word of God and the power behind the Word of God. There will always be people that question Him. You see, Satan has always tried to undermine God's Word by confusing man on what is really God's Word for us today. May I say to you today, folks, he's trying to confuse you on what Bible is the Word of God. He's trying to confuse you on what truth is. He's trying to confuse mankind and question the Word of God. And yet it's that same God yesterday, today, and forever that spoke the worlds into existence that still speaks today. Those same words carry with it the same authority and the same power as they were the day that He spoke the worlds into existence. You know, Jesus spoke about Himself in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. He said, all power is given unto Me in heaven and where? And in earth. He said, there's nowhere that the power of My Word can't penetrate. There's nowhere that the power of My Word doesn't have authority. No wonder they said when He cast out devils, what a word is this? What a word is this? I wonder if we get excited today about when God does some great things. Jesus spoke of Himself and said, all power is given unto Me. But wait a minute now, people, let me tell you something that people spoke about Jesus. In John chapter 7, we have the record in verse number 36 where the people said, never a man spake like this man. Never a man spoke these kind of words. Boy, I'm telling you, we can go to a seminar, we can go this, and we hear things that we've never heard before that are biblical now, and we go to a seminar and we take them to heart. We said, oh man, nobody's ever spoken. I've never heard this before. Man, this is great. I'm here to tell you, no man ever spoke like Jesus spoke. No man ever had. You see, the Word of God claims about itself in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You see, there's something to the Word of God. You see, there's power in His Word. There's provision in His Word. There's peace in His Word. There's pardon in His Word. There's a purpose behind His Word. There's a promise involved in His Word. There's performance in His Word. There's pity. There's pleasure. There's plenty. There's profit. There's principle. There's proof. There's purging. And there's praise in the Word of God. You see, there's something to this Word of God. How can we not believe His Word when it has proven its power over and over and over again? You see, the Word of God has power. You see, we just read in Scripture this morning, first of all, it has power over devils. Jesus was confronted with a situation of a man possessed with devils. And did you notice what the Scripture said? He spoke to them. He said, "Hold thy peace." And what did He tell them to do? Come out of him. They had no choice but to come out. Why? Because His Word is with authority and with power. It cannot be resisted. And He spoke to those devils and told them, "Come out! Come out of him!" If you'll remember over in Luke chapter 8, remember the maniac of Gadara. Out of his mind, a lunatic, possessed with devils. Matter of fact, the Scripture said an entire legion of devils. But when Jesus spoke to him, they came out of him. He spoke, they came out, and He cast them into swine. Matter of fact, you know what they did to those swine? What they want to do to your life as well. Cast themselves into the sea and destroy themselves. I'm here to tell you, His Word has power over devils. Would you take your Bible and go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 for just a moment, please? 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 8. You know, there's coming a day, folks, whenever all this whole world system is going to fall apart and the rise of the Antichrist will come to pass. But you know, God's not worried. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His," does your Bible say mouth? You see, there will come a day when the Antichrist shall rise and he'll be consumed by the Lord by the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming even him whose coming is after the working of who? Of Satan. You see, he's got power. The Word of God's got power over devils. You say, "Preacher, should we be afraid of the devil?" You don't want to mess with him, I promise you that. And you ain't going to have to go looking for him. He'll come looking for you. You won't have to go hunting. He'll come after you. But you know what? If you're going to have a word from God, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, if you're going to have victory when those situations come, let me tell you something. You're going to have to get a word from God. And when God does something in your life and you see the power that He has even over devils, you know what you could say? What a word is this? What an incredible word is this that my eyes have seen? He doesn't just have power over devils. He has power over deformities. Remember at Matthew chapter 8, a leper comes to Jesus and said, "Lord, if Thou wilt, I can be made clean." Now, well, you know what? The thing about it was not the right thing to do. People didn't touch lepers. But go check me out. Jesus touched him. That was not the thing of the day to do. But Jesus touched him and Jesus said, "I will be thou clean." And you know what leprosy does to an individual? You ever seen somebody with leprosy? The Bible said he was made whole. Why? Because the same word that created the worlds, the same word that cast out devils, also has power over deformities. You see, when he said, "Be thou clean," let me tell you, it was done. It was a done deal. That man walked away cleaned. He has power not over devils. His word has power over deformities. Hey, it has power over diseases. Look back there in Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Go back to Luke chapter 4 and verse 40. Remember, after he cast out devils, we come down and the word was spread abroad of the power of the Word of God. And the Bible says, "And now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them." Power over diseases. diseases. You say, what are you getting at, preacher? What I'm saying this morning, you may not necessarily have a deformity. You may not necessarily have devils. Let me tell you something this morning, dear friend. All of us are diseased with sin. That old flesh, nothing dwells good in this old flesh. Every one of us is susceptible. You say, what do we need to do? What books do we need to read, preacher? Where do we need to go? Listen, how about let's go to God for a word from God. See God do something supernatural in our lives. You see, He has power over devils and deformities and diseases. Turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 8. The Word of God has power over disasters. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter number 8. Remember, Jesus gets in a boat with His disciples. They start heading to the other side. Oh, you know what? They got in a storm. And where do we find the Lord? We find the Lord asleep. He's asleep. Now, wait a minute now. He's asleep in the boat with the disciples. But they're afraid. Storm comes. You know what? Immediately, what did they do? They looked at how bad it could be. They looked at, oh, we're all going to perish. Oh, we're all going to sink. Oh, we're all going to die. Now, wait a minute. Stop and think about this just a minute. With Jesus in the boat? Isn't it amazing how in our life we push the panic button? Jesus Christ lives inside you. As a child of God, if you've accepted the Lord, He lives in you. And you know what we'll do? We push the panic button all the time. We're going to die. We're going down. Wait a minute. Jesus is in you. Jesus was in the boat. We're going to all drown. Lord, wake up. The Lord wakes up. And I want you to notice this. Look, if you would, in verse 25, and His disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner? What a word is this? What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey Him? You see, His word has power over disasters. See, some of you today think your life is heading for an absolute disaster. You know what you need? You need a word from God. That's what you need. Hey, the thing, isn't it amazing? We'll go everywhere else for counsel. We'll go everywhere else for help. And then when nothing else works, then we go to God and say, Lord, you got a word for me? He said, yeah, I had a word for you 2 years ago. Yeah, I had a word for you a long time ago. Problem is you waited 2 years. So you had to wander in the wilderness for 2 years. I had a word for you a long time ago. And we say, okay, Lord, what's that word? And He gives the word. Say, oh, I wish I'd have thought about that. I wish I'd have gone right straight to you first, Lord. That's what He's trying to get us to do, folks. Why? Because His word has power over devils and deformities and diseases and disasters. May I say to you, His word also has power over deceivers. Remember the religious crowd that brought the woman that was caught in adultery in John chapter 8 and cast her at Jesus' feet. Said this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. What do you say about it? I like it because Jesus did a lot of... Maybe that's where I got it from the Lord, because He just ignored them. You know, a lot of times when people try to suck in things, you know, the best thing to do is probably just ignore them. And Jesus just ignored them. And finally He looked up, says, that's fine. He that is without sin, cast a stone. Go ahead, guys. And you know, not one of them cast a stone at her. They dropped their stone and walked off. And Jesus looked up and says, where art thou an accusers? Oh, they're gone, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know what she got? You say, but she was caught in the very act of adultery. I wonder what we've been caught in the very act of by God. And He extended grace and He extended mercy to you. You know what we ought to do? Instead of condemning others, we ought to say, what a word is this that God would deliver me from my situation. You see, His word has power over deceivers. His word has power over death. Remember Lazarus in John chapter 11? He just simply said, show me where he's laid. They took Jesus to the tomb, rolled the stone away. Oh no, Lord, we can't. Isn't it amazing how many times God says, I'm trying to give you a word. Stop trying to interfere. Mom, has you ever been shopping at the grocery store? You know, we're our own worst enemy. You ever been shopping at the grocery store and you can't even get to what you want to do because the kids are under your feet? And you're trying to get to them and they're all on your feet and you're like, would y'all move out of the way, please? So I can get to the shelf and get what I want? I wonder if that's how kind of what we do with the Lord. We kind of get in His way too often. And He's trying to do something great in your life. He's trying to do something great through our church. And the biggest problem is us. We're constantly under His feet. I think what He wants to do is say, listen, would y'all mind stepping aside so I can do a miracle here? Would y'all step aside so that I can do something divine here? Oh, Lord, don't roll the stone away. He's been dead 4 days and by now He stinks. Roll it away. And He just simply said, Lazarus, come forth. So there's not much you can say in three words. Listen, He wouldn't even have to say anything. He could have just thought it and it had happened. You see, I'm just saying His word has power over death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You see, the sting of death is the law. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just here to tell you today, His word has power, not just over devils and deformities and diseases and disasters, deceivers and death. I don't have time to tell you. You know what? His word's got power over discouragement too. His word's got power over disappointments too. Anybody ever disappointed you? I'm going to tell you, there's one person that ain't ever disappointed. The Lord's never disappointed you. Ever! You say, well, other people have. He's got power over that. You know what you need? You just need to go get a word from God. See, He's got power over depression. He's got power over defeat. You ever feel defeated? You ever come to a place in your life you just feel defeated? You just all the circumstances, you just say, man, everything's just working against me. Everything's going against me. It doesn't matter. The harder I try, the worse it gets. You ever feel that way? You know what you need? You need a word from God. Yeah, you need to go to your prayer closet and get a hold of God. He said, Lord, you got a word for me today? He said, yeah, I got a word for you today. And God will speak to your heart, encourage your spirit. You'll come out of that prayer closet and say, where's the devil? Man, I'm ready to go for God. We delay the process. You see, here it was, Mary and Martha said, Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And now they're trying to stop Him. That's how we do. Isn't it amazing? I think God's showing us, would you make up your mind? Do you want a blessing or not? We want it and then we don't want it. Then we want it and then we don't want it. Now let me say this morning. God's got a word for us today. He's got a word for those that are here this morning that were without Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, what's that word? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a word. Say, what's He trying to say? He's trying to say you owe a debt. You have a debt to be paid. And that debt is a debt of sin, my dear friend. The Scripture says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and so death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, so that all have sinned. You know who that incorporates? Us. Here's a word from God today. You owe a debt. How am I going to pay it? Well, He got another word for you this morning. He just wants you to acknowledge that we owe a debt. Hey, folks, I'm just here to tell you, if you're here without Jesus Christ, I wouldn't walk out that back door today if I owed a debt to God. What's that debt? The debt of sin. But you know, on the cross in John chapter 19, here's a word from God. It is finished. There's another word. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We've all sinned. We're all going to hell. What are we going to do? It's finished. Here's the next word. Not only do you owe a debt, it's done. It's done. Done, done, done. D-O-N-E. It's already the price, the payment has already been done. Jesus has already paid our sin debt. You see, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hey, there's a word from God. Yeah, there's a debt to be paid, but I'm here to tell you, it's already done. Let me give you another word. John chapter 3, verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Here's a word. Yeah, we owe a debt. Yeah, it's been done. Here's another word. Delivered. Hey, the Lord's done everything. Why? So that I could be delivered from my sin debt. All I have to do is acknowledge, yes, I've sinned. Yes, I'm hopeless. There's nothing that I can do to be saved. And He says, hey, listen, it's deliver time. Hey, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Hey, He knows how to deliver. And on the cross, it's finished. Here's a word. You got a debt. The debt's been paid. It's done. You can be delivered this morning. And then let me tell you this. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, once you grab a hold and understand what the debt is, that the debt's been paid, that it's done, and that you can be delivered this morning, then you know what? Then Jesus said in John chapter 14, now let me give you a decree. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, here's the decree. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hey, I got a word for you, saint of God, this morning. Jesus is coming again. What a word is this? He is when? Could be today. Hey, when we come to church, do you want to get a word from God? Do you want to leave out of here saying, you know what? I got a hold of a word from God. If you missed anything today, let me tell you something. There's a word. He's coming again. That's a decree. But may I say, if you leave this morning without Jesus Christ, I got a bad word for you. It's called damnation. Jesus even spoke it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. The Scripture says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And the Scripture says, then that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You say, oh, preacher, that's an ugly word. Hell is going to be an ugly place, dear friend. It's going to be an awful place. Hey, listen, I'm here to tell you this morning, God's got a word. You know what? Just admit, I owe a sin debt. I need to come to Christ. If you're here this morning, let me tell you something. It's already done. All done. He's willing to deliver you. There's a decree for every believer. I'm coming again. But if you leave today without Jesus Christ, it's damnation forever and ever and ever. Let me leave you with this verse. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. God said, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Here's the last word I'm going to leave you with today. God wants us all to know He's got dominion. It's called dominion. It's called authority. It's called control. You know, one thing that probably frustrates most of us about it is because there's so many things that have to do in life that we don't have any control over. It just worries us to death, doesn't it? Listen, you get saved, have a relationship with God, and turn all that stuff over to the Lord, you ain't going to have a problem with dominion. Because you know what we are? We're just servants of God. We're just the children of God. And I'm here to tell you today, word is this, that God, the same God who spoke everything into creation, that same word can cast out devils. That same word healed deformities and diseases. That same word had power over deceivers. By the way, when Jesus comes back to set up His kingdom, and when Jesus comes back to set up eternity, when He comes back, all He's going to do is speak, and a sword will proceed from His mouth and destroy and consume all the remnant left over that is anti-God. That's the power of His Word. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?